Hey everyone, this podcast is part of Story Mode, the podcast network of Gamefully Unemployed. You can support us and gain access to other great exclusive podcasts at patreon.com/gamefullyunemployed. That's patreon.com/GAMEFULLY unemployed, which is spelled like it sounds.
Keeping the beat.
Keeping the beat. we're gonna do like a some slam poetry about this.
Okay. Yeah, we probably should, right?
We're gonna West Side Story this shit.
Mm-hmm. Hi everybody.
Hello everyone.
My name is David Bell.
I am Tom Ryman.
And we just watched the Stars War.
Star Wars. The Rise of Skywalker.
That's the name.
What are you doing there, 3PO?
Taking one last look, sir. At my friends.
Confronting fear. It's the destiny of a Jedi. Your destiny.
Star Wars! The Rise of Skywalker!
I just watched this, Tom.
I watched this last night.
What did you think?
I think it is a very bad movie.
Yeah. Okay. I just want to start by saying you don't like any of the new ones.
I haven't really cared for the new ones.
Okay.
I think the Last Jedi was probably the better of them, even though that movie still has a lot of problems.
Yes. I realized this the other day is that I like mm-hmm. how the first one, The Force Awakens, I liked it when I first saw it. And I think I think what it was is I liked watching J.J. Abrams, who knew kind of how to direct the universe or the characters. Like, if you took the plot of the prequels and mm-hmm. gave it to J.J. Abrams,
better movie. Yeah.
Yes. He's like the anti-Lucas, where that there's so much life in his shots and in the characters. And then
there's so much. There's so much life in the shots.
Okay, no, but as opposed to the Lucas prequels.
Oh, where everybody's just a piece of wood.
Yeah, and then the Last Jedi. Yeah, I also liked more. And generally, I've liked these kind of more than you, but I haven't been thrilled about them either. I don't care. And I was saying all this to set up the fact that I thought this was extremely bad.
It's embarrassingly so in some situations.
I would say at times, or maybe overall, it made less sense than the prequels.
Well, man, there's a lot to talk about.
I'm so thrilled that we're
another two white dudes about to give our opinion about Star Wars.
It is kind of shocking how bad this was.
Yeah. It has the same overall problem as The Force Awakens and kind of The Last Jedi too, even though I do feel like The Last Jedi is the better of these three, and Rian Johnson was trying to subvert some stuff, and while I respect the subversion, it's not always what's needed. You know what I mean?
Sure. Sure.
This movie has the same problem as The Force Awakens in that it has no new ideas.
Yes.
It's just to the point where they literally bring back the Emperor in the opening text crawl.
Yep. Well,
and they never explain how he survived Return of the Jedi.
This is the end product of a trilogy that was making it up as they went along. This is the worst case scenario, I think, of that, because
yeah,
this reminded me, you know what this reminded me of is when you're a kid and you're playing like Wizards with another kid, mm-hmm. or you're playing Cops and Robbers and you go, I shot you, and they go, you didn't shoot me because this whole time I've had a vest on.
It's Calvin Ball.
Oh, Yeah. But no,
it's
this
Calvin
specific
Ball,
movie.
The movie.
No, but look, what it, I guess what it is, this specific movie feels like, or it's like, no, oh, I've always had these powers, because they introduce so many things that have not been introduced until this moment.
Yes.
Where they, like the character, like the first one I noticed was they like casually turn to Poe and they're like, you know, how Poe has like a sordid past, and it's like, wait, what? Like. No
he
one,
does.
No one,
he was like yeah. a he was like a swashbuckling, like,
you know how he's like a
like
smuggler,
heroic
like,
resistance pilot. Yeah,
yeah. And they kept doing that where they're like, "All right, here's Leia's lightsaber," and I'm like, "I'm sorry, what?"
Yeah, excuse me.
when did you introduce this?
And Mark Hamill's like, "Oh, she, you know, she stopped her train." It is wild. The
yes.
kind of shit they just throw at you in this movie.
It's. The pacing is so fast. I felt like there wasn't a scene that lasted more than a minute.
I'm glad you said that, because that was coming out of the movie. We got to see a very cool private screening of this through Collider and Dolby. They did some partnership, and it was a really awesome, fun experience that it wasn't even really tainted by the fact that neither one of us really liked the movie. But we both had the same immediate complaint, was that the first 2/3 of this movie do not allow a single scene to breathe. So like any emotional beat that happens in the first 2/3 of the movie, we can't feel, because the scene immediately ends.
It's what it is. It's J.J. Abrams desperately trying to cram the idea he had for two movies into one. That's what it felt like.
Oh, I don't think he had any ideas. He wasn't planning on coming back to the series.
That's true. It
was
him,
supposed to be Colin Trevorrow.
Yeah, you're right. That's how it felt. It felt like they were trying to, I've seen a few comments about this where people are like, you could have watched the series starting with this movie.
Yeah.
And it would have been fine. Cause the first two don't matter in this one.
When I said earlier about Rian Johnson wanting to subvert things and that not always being the best idea, probably the biggest fuck all these people that are like, remake The Last Jedi, but I think the biggest disservice that The Last Jedi does was it played out like a final chapter.
Yeah.
Like the movie ended with not a lot of places to go.
Remember,
you know what I mean?
Remember we play board games. Remember Once Upon a Time?
Mm-hmm.
It's for people who don't know, this is a children's board game. It's a card game where everybody has in their hand an ending to a story, and everybody gets to, you start with one person and they lay down cards that are story beats, and the object of the game is everybody to interrupt each other with their own story beats, and everybody's trying to get to the ending that they want,
their own ending. Yeah,
that's this trilogy.
Yeah,
it's
so like
three, it's two directors interrupting each other and being like, no, and then this happened, and then this, and in the end it's like, wait, nothing tied together because you were
at all.
Yeah,
it's so weird. Like, you're absolutely right. You could watch this movie and have not seen the other two.
Like you said, in the opening crawl they're like, Palpatine's back, and it's like, oh, okay, probably something you should have put in the previous film, you know.
It's like my god. Okay, I wish I had taken notes before we started, because there's a lot of things
I have a
I
bunch
wanted
of
to...
notes.
Okay. Well, something I wanted to say before I lost it, and I think I just lost it.
No.
Shit.
Well, while you're trying to...
All right, yeah.
The Palpatine thing, it reminds me of... I don't know if this is a fan edit someone did, but I realized, you know how the Force Awakens ends with Rey holding up the lightsaber to Luke?
Mm-hmm.
And in the true mystery box fashion, they end it right there.
Yes.
And that felt like such a J.J. Abrams thing to do. Because it was my belief that J.J. Abrams didn't know what to do after that moment, you know?
Well, it's been pointed out. Go ahead.
Oh, I it felt like he was like, and then she hands it to Luke and it ends. And that would be really cool. And no one, and he never thought about like what would be Luke's reaction,
nope,
what happens.
He never expected to pick it back up. And a lot of people have made this point, is that J.J. Abrams has never ended anything himself.
Yes, yeah. In the Last Jedi, they continue that scene, right? And Luke takes the lightsaber and throws it over his shoulder.
Mm-hmm.
That should have been the ending of The Force Awakens. How much cooler would have it been if he takes it, throws it over his shoulder and then goes do 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 do, and that's the end. And it's like, holy shit! Like
yeah,
that would have been a
he
more.
He throws it over his shoulder and walks away from her.
Right, but because J.J. Abrams didn't know what to do, it had to be put in the other. And I feel like that's what the Sheev Palpatine stuff is like. Force or Last Jedi could have ended with Palpatine showing up. And then we'd be like, oh, shit. And then this one is like, okay, anyway. But they didn't know. They had no idea where they were going with it.
No, that was never the plan. And it's so clearly grasping at straws. And it's another thing. Like, I don't understand this. Because they, with The Force Awakens, they wanted to play it so safe. Because there was such animosity about the prequels that they basically had J.J. Abrams remake the first Star Wars movie.
Right.
And what that winds up doing thematically, because it is a sequel, is that it winds up seriously undermining the events of the original trilogy, because it's like, well, it didn't matter because everybody is back where they started at the beginning of Star Wars.
Right.
This movie does that to, I think, possibly an even worse degree, because the entire point of the original trilogy and then the prequel trilogy that George Lucas made was the redemption of Anakin Skywalker.
Yep.
And by making the Emperor not die and still be alive and still amassing huge power, like, it makes the fact that Vader made his choice and died destroying the Emperor to save his son, it really takes a lot of wind out of those sails.
Oh,
you know what
yeah.
I mean?
Like, oh, and in more ways. That's why I was going back to the prequels, because I was reminded of Red Letter Media, their Star Wars Mr. Plinkett things. They pointed out one of the big problems with the prequels is how much importance they put on the lightsabers, where you go back to when Yoda was first talking to Luke and being like, size does not make one great, and all that stuff. And the whole point of the Force was, it's not a sword. I remember them intercutting that with Obi-Wan in the prequels being like, this weapon is your life. And this does the exact, they have a line where Luke says, like, such a like disrespectful way to treat the weapon of a Jedi. And then at the end, spoilers, not that people needed to hear that, Palpatine is defeated. She has one lightsaber and he's just like, nah, you cannot defeat me. And then she gets two lightsabers.
And
that defeats him. And I was like,
well,
seriously?
She also channels all of the Jedi, which was kind of
okay.
Cool.
Sure.
That was kind of cool.
That's fair.
Also, I don't want to get too far afield complaining about the new trilogy conceptually, because we should address what is specifically wrong with this movie.
Yes, because this movie has a lot wrong with it.
This movie has a lot of problems. This movie...
Also, sorry.
Go ahead.
About the undermining, this new trilogy, every film, every sequel undermines the previous one.
Yes. Yeah. They're doing every sequel does each sequel does its damnedest to retcon what happened in the original.
Yes.
And in the previous film. It's like the Terminator series. It's wild.
Yeah.
Nobody had an idea. Okay.
No one had an idea.
Now let's focus on all the terrible ideas that are in this film.
Okay. Going back to the fact that it was rushed, what was the point of Rey giving up her lightsaber for 10 minutes? She gives it to Leia, like, I cannot use this weapon. And then, like, the moment they're like, we have to go do something, she's like,
she
here's the weapon.
She just gives it back.
Yeah. Yep. It was like, what was the point of that?
There was a lot of things like that. Why?
Yeah.
They introduced this MacGuffin. One of two. This movie becomes a Pirates of the Caribbean movie. You know how the Star Wars movies are famous for being about our group of heroes chasing down a specific magical item. You know how it's always been traditionally about that? Well, that's what this movie's about. So it continued that tradition.
It's them chasing down a magical item so they can find another magical item that'll take them to the thing. They also find both items by ridiculous chance. The knife they find by randomly falling into quicksand that takes them into a cave, and they're like, oh, this is where the knife is.
I could spend 100 years of podcast episodes talking about this knife.
Yes. The knife
In the Star Wars universe, there is a somebody has made a knife, like a dagger, like a knife.
Who made it? When did they make it?
Exactly. There's a lot. There's a lot to talk about this knife. First of all, it's inscribed with the language of the Sith, which is another thing that has never been in any other Star Wars movie until now.
Yep.
They don't
yep.
speak a different language. Like, what are you talking about?
Yeah.
But now all of a sudden they have the language of Mordor. Like, it's like, what? Like,
where did and that then come from?
It's literally a plot point. C-3PO cannot speak the language because it's evil. I'm like, are you fucking serious?
Right.
Where so
did
the
that
knife,
come from?
Don't know. So the knife is supposed to lead them to this codex, I guess, that's gonna show them the location of the secret Sith planet where the Emperor has been secretly amassing hundreds of thousands of Star Destroyers, that each one has a Death Star laser on it, which, sure.
Okay.
I mean, where'd you get all those resources, man?
I could also talk forever about the Death Star laser. That was absolutely insane. Again, it's like right in the third act, they're like, oh, and by the way, they can all blow up planets now. And it was like, oh, okay,
cool.
Seems like you should have made those a while ago.
Well, the weird thing about that is they show, like, well, it's time to show off our power. So they send the Star Destroyer to a planet and blow it up, and then, like, for some reason, so they're out in the galaxy now. But then for some reason, when the heroes show up on the Sith planet to, like, confront Palpatine and destroy his fleet, the entire fleet's just sitting there.
Right.
So I'm like, do they all come back?
Also, those things, apparently only one of them has a GPS.
That's 'cause they're like, that's a classic movie trope that is so dumb. It's in the Independence Day, it's in the first
You're
Avengers,
right.
where it's like, all they need to do is take out the control ship, and it's in the Star Wars Phantom Menace.
Yep.
All we need to do is take out the control ship, and then the rest of the ships won't be able to do anything. It's like, are you kidding me?
Right,
like,
but in this case,
fleets
don't
work
in,
that
like,
way now. Why would they work that way with, like, fantastic future technology?
Right, and in this context, it just was the ship that had, like, the ability to see where they were going.
It was very dumb. It was so confusing.
All right, back to the knife, though.
All right, the knife.
I want to start with the fact that Sheev Palpatine had the secret lair and apparently had a map made to it.
Mm-hmm.
And in order to find the map, which was on the crashed Death Star,
right,
someone constructed a knife.
Mm-hmm.
That when you hold it up while standing in a specific location, like Goonies style, will show you where the map is to his lair.
In the Death Star.
In the Death Star. When did he make it? The Death Star, it's not, like, that's not a landmark. You know, like, that it had to have been made after the Death Star crashed.
It's
and
been
presumably,
there,
assuming
it's been there
the Death Star was never going to...
30 years. It's been there for
right.
about 30 years.
And it could still erode, you know, it could rust and move. And so that knife
we've
isn't going to be that
we've
useful.
Seen shipwrecks. Yeah. Like,
yeah.
There's,
and Rey again, like the quicksand, Rey just happens to walk up to the shore and be in the exact location
to use the knife. So
what is the knife for?
I don't know. There's a lot of questions about the knife. First of all, Sheev had a Sheev Palpatine. Sheev C. Palpatine Esquire had a secret vault next to his big chair on the Death Star that houses all of his, like, secret shit. I assume he had his comic books in there, you know, probably some limited edition action figures, some commemorative plates. And
of
also
course.
this little codex that tells him how to get to his secret planet. It's this movie becomes Pirates of the Caribbean. to the point where it's a planet that you can't get there unless you already know the way. Anyway, somebody made this knife that is entirely dependent, like you said, on looking at the Death Star from the outside. The first question that exploded into my, tearing through my skull and into my brain like a malignant Kool-Aid man was, who made this knife and when? The question of when is very important.
It's very important.
Possibly more important than who, because who would know that, like, why would she, if it's Sheev, why would he need to make a knife, knife compass to remind him where his secret vault is that's 10 feet away from his big chair in the Death Star? Did he forget where that room was? Also, the knife only works if you're standing, you know, several miles outside of the Death Star. The Death Star is a space station.
Right.
You're going to stand outside in the space station? Floating in space, holding this dagger?
It was made after the Death Star crashed, apparently.
By who?
I know. Well, that's the thing. The location...
Inscribed in the Sith language that nobody can speak but the Sith?
Yeah. The knife was made, mind you... It's the shape of the mountains that she matches up. So what that means is that the Death Star crashed. Somebody, not Sheev, was like, we need to know how to get to that map. So they must have climbed on the Death Star. Either Sheev must have told them. Like,
I think so, because it's that guy that they call him the Jedi Hunter. I forget his name.
Yeah.
He's the guy that, like, stabs Rey's parents with the knife.
Right.
The knife in Star Wars, where they have lightsabers and every bladed weapon that the First Order uses is an energy weapon.
So Sheev must have been like, you need to make a treasure map. And he got on the Death Star. I don't know. I'm just telling you what happened. He identified the exact location. He must have popped a flare or something and then taken a boat or a ship to the shore, sat on the shore, held up some graph paper and traced it out like, okay, well, if I'm right here and at exactly this height, that's what it'll look like. Took that to like a knife maker guy, had the knife made for that. Standing in that one specific location, the only place you could stand, and then stabbed Rey's parents?
And then went and got Rey's parents. Palpatine
for
tells
some
us later.
Reason.
Sheev tells us later that was on his command, right? Like, he sent that guy to her planet to murder her parents.
This is what we're dealing with.
Yeah. The other thing I want to point out.
This is only one of
MacGuffin. The MacGuffin they needed to find the other MacGuffin. There's so many problems with this movie.
Yeah.
So the knife was made to locate a single spot on the Death Star, which is the size of a moon. It's a space station the size of a moon. And
that's correct.
One of them, either Finn or Poe, points out we could spend years crawling around in there and never find what we're looking for.
Right.
Like, literal years. And all this knife does is point you in the general direction of where it would be on the inside of this moon-sized space station. It's ludicrous. It's like it's the stupidest thing. Like, why have this?
Yeah.
Another problem with this scene is she gets in there, she gets the codex, she gets out, and Kylo Ren's standing there. When did he get there? How the fuck did he get there?
Doesn't matter.
He's just there.
Yeah, at that point, I gave up on those questions.
How many scenes ended with, we gotta go, the First Order showed up? How many scenes end with a Star Destroyer showing up?
Probably all of them?
A lot of them, virtually every single scene ends with the First
really
Order
fast.
Showing up and chasing them.
When they go to that planet where they party every 42 years, they show up. Rey has that, another thing they introduce, she has that psychic connection with Kylo Ren from the second one.
Yeah.
And then Kylo Ren snatches a necklace she's wearing and can materialize it in his world. We've never seen that happen before, but it's like, okay, I guess that's a thing we can do now.
Didn't necessarily mind that.
No, I didn't mind it. It's just this movie is all about introducing. Again, it's the kid playing a game and suddenly saying, "Oh no, I've had a force field this whole time." It's that. It's them introducing things as if they set it up two movies ago.
I didn't have a problem with that one. It's like, I don't mind introducing new force powers, and I didn't have a problem with that one because Rey was clearly surprised by it. Like, she didn't know, our Link has this connection. The one I had a problem with was the force healing.
Yes, I was going to wait to talk about force healing.
Okay.
But just to finish this thought, and so then he has it analyzed, and he's like, let's go to that planet. And like the next scene, there's a stormtrooper just already on that planet. Just like, stop. And then, boy, oh boy, he gets shot with an arrow. And in walks Billy Dee Williams like, hi, I'm Lando.
Yeah,
and it's just like, oh, you don't need to be in this movie at all, Lando?
What have you been doing here, Lando?
Yeah, what are you doing here?
What have you been doing that on was, random party planned at Lando? Like, what the fuck is going on?
Bonkers. He just shows up. He might as well have looked at the camera and winked. Like, hi, I'm here to save the day. I'm Lando. And it was like, what the fuck are you doing here, Lando?
And the rest of this sequence... the First Order shows up with Kylo Ren. His mission is to turn Rey to the dark side. Like, that's what he wants to do. Like, the Emperor has told him, oh, you're going to take my place at the throne. But he's like, no, I'm going to kill you and rule. But he really wants to turn Rey to the dark side. So he's like showing up at the planet. It's like, I'm going to get Rey. We're going to turn to the dark side. So Chewie gets captured and loaded onto a transport. Kylo Ren drives his TIE interceptor just directly at Rey at like 1,000 miles an hour.
Yeah, for some reason.
What the fuck was his plan?
What the fuck was anybody's plan?
He's just driving at her at 1,000 miles an hour. She flips over, chops the wing off. It spins off into the desert, crashes, and explodes. 2 seconds later, he's just walking through the desert toward her, totally fine. By the way, that ship also housed his important MacGuffin codex that led him to the Sith planet. So he just drove his ship that had this priceless artifact in it directly at her. It just, like, he's not shooting. He's just driving straight at her. Like, what the fuck is his plan in that scene?
I don't
know.
At first I thought it was a distraction so they could steal Chewie. But then you find out they
Chewie.
Yeah, exactly. Because then she zaps they play tug of war over the ship, mm-hmm. and she thinks she kills Chewie.
Right, she does force lightning and explodes
which is,
the ship.
It's weird that she thinks she killed Chewie, because later she can tell Chewie is alive from like 1,000 miles away.
Yeah.
Looking, but she can't tell that she didn't kill him.
Right, because what she actually blew up was a second transporter ship that we never saw that would just happen to be taking off from the same area.
Right.
It's the dumbest fucking bullshit. Like, it's
this movie,
you're not even trying to write anything.
No, well, there's
like,
so much.
This is still in the first part of the movie where everything is just moving so fast. And for all we can tell as the audience at this point, Chewie has just died. Chewbacca has just died. And they don't give us a second to let that breathe.
Nope. And then they immediately, almost like 5 minutes later, they're like, he's still
just
alive.
Barely,
and it was
they just didn't buy it back immediately.
It buys everything back. It's like, we have to erase C-3PO's memory. But, you know, in like 15 minutes, he'll be back.
That's a problem with this movie that has also been a problem with the other two, is that they're never challenged for longer than 2 seconds. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like...
Oh yeah.
Like in the first one, I thought it was very strange that the Force Awakens ends with Rey like decisively beating Kylo Ren. It was like, all right, like where do we? She just beat the bad guy. Like, where do we go from here? In this movie, they show up on like that smuggler planet with Carrie Russell's character, like Zori or whatever her name was.
New character who.
Yeah, who had like a history with Poe, whatever.
Yeah.
But she's like, you know, there's a huge bounty on you guys. I could turn you in. And then she calls her guards to attack, and then Rey beats them all up and knocks her down. And she's like, you know what? Just between us, I think you're pretty great. And then they're just like, they're friends immediately. It's like, okay,
it was
so
very weird.
So she ordered her buddies to like jump them, and then they all get fucking throttled by Rey. And then she's just like, I think you're the bee's knees. Anyway, come here, let me help you. And then like a scene later, she's like telling Poe, like, I can't go with you to join the resistance. I've got this captain's medallion for the First Order that can get me any place I want to go. And this is my thing. I can't go with you. And then in the very next scene, she gives Poe her captain's medallion.
Right.
To get through the
It's
bonkers.
Just like, yeah, like, because it's like, just like, oh, okay, well, that was a freebie. It was to get him like onto the ship.
Like they never
for a movie that felt rushed, it also felt like it was stalling for time.
It had no ideas. Like
the
only idea he had was the ending battle between Rey and Kylo Ren and the Emperor.
Remember how Finn says to Rey when they're in quicksand, I have to tell you something before mm-hmm. we die. And mm-hmm. then later, Poe's like, what did you have to tell her before we die? And he's like, I don't want to talk about that. And then he never tells her anything?
Mm-hmm.
Like, what?
Yeah.
That's
apparently, according to something that leaked from a For Your Consideration screening of Star Wars, which is just hilarious on its face. J.J. Abrams told the crowd that what Finn was desperately trying to tell her as they were sinking in quicksand, for all they knew, to their deaths, because apparently Rey forgot she could levitate.
Right.
He was trying to tell her. Yeah.
In the movie, they show her levitating.
That's her introduction. She's levitating, spinning right. rocks around her.
The internal logic of this movie. She's
Dr. Manhattan when we're introduced to her.
Like, take away the other two movies. The logic in this movie is completely inconsistent.
Finn was trying to tell her was that he was force sensitive. That was what he was desperately trying to tell her as they were
dying. Before he died, and she would be like, "Oh, cool," and then they'd die.
Which is a weird thing to. Because we already knew he was.
Yeah.
He gets little pings from the Force in the first one. He uses a lightsaber twice. We already know Finn is Force sensitive. So it's weird to... Here's another question.
Okay.
It was one that JJ introduced in The Force Awakens. You remember how they go to Maz Kanata?
I was going to bring this up, yes.
Mm-hmm. And she gives him Luke's lightsaber, the blue one, the one that he lost on Cloud City when he gets his hand chopped off.
Where did you get that?
Mm-hmm.
She says
that's a story for another time.
Right.
Guess what they never explain to us?
How she got that.
They never tell us how they managed to get Luke's lightsaber, which was fused to his severed hand, spiraling out of the bottom of the Cloud City into God knows what's below that. How did you get that? I really need to know that.
The character of Maz
doesn't matter. Most of
the characters they've introduced
don't matter.
They don't do anything. Maz was introduced as like a Yoda type where she's like knows all this stuff about Rey. And mm-hmm. it's like, how do you know any of that stuff? She's barely in this movie.
She's on screen for 3 seconds in Last Jedi. Like, Rian Johnson benched her.
Yeah, I was like, okay. I was actually okay with benching her for the middle film. I thought they were going to at least, J.J. Abrams was going to at least have a plan for her. Because he's the one who introduced her. He just needed a character to show up, tell Rey a bunch of stuff. So mm-hmm. he made her up and made her mysterious. So that she could say anything he wanted her to say.
Yeah.
And was like, someone else will pay that off. Not knowing that would have to be him.
It would have to be his ass, and he would just leave her on the fucking forest.
Yep. You know who else didn't do anything?
Rose.
Rose. I was going to say the Knights of Ren. Remember those guys?
They just get killed.
They barely mentioned in one of the previous films. And in this one, they're like a thing.
They're supposed to be his like classmates from Luke's school, right? Like the guys that he got to go with him. They're like fucking Jedis.
Yeah, who are they? We never see his face. We never learn anything about them.
They're just his entourage,
and then they all get killed by him.
Yeah, they never do anything.
They never do anything. We don't know anything about them.
Yeah,
just like all those crazy like that at the end, the fucking Colosseum of Sith, where it's like, who's all these fucking people? What is going on?
What are they doing for food? Are they real? Are they constructs of the Sith? Like, it's,
what is the scale of the Star Wars we're watching?
Because they never, I already said this, but I gotta hammer it again. They never explain why Palpatine's alive.
No, they never explain the stakes. They don't explain the Snoke thing, because Palpatine just has a bunch of Snoke clones.
He's like,
apparently.
Clone. He's like, I made Snoke, and then they reveal that he's got like a clone vat of Snoke. So I'm like, is he a clone of you? Did you make him from like other like what is this?
Yeah, you can't just show a vat of clones and then move along, and it's just like what?
What the fuck is this?
That was so fucking weird. Let's talk about force.
God.
Let's talk about force healing. because
yeah, okay,
Rey is a novice Jedi.
Okay, yeah, she's new. Yeah, she's a new Jedi.
She's
yeah.
new, and she knows how to force heal a snake.
Well, here's the thing. She meets this giant space snake that ate the guy that ate the Jedi hunter who dropped the dagger that they needed conveniently, like okay. right below where he parked his ship. It's this big weird space cockroach snake, and she approaches it like a Crocodile Dundee type way, like a Crocodile Hunter way, where she's right. like, I'm here, I'm your friend. So she has a kindred spirit with the animals. And she like notices it's wounded and then heals its wound and it slithers away like without fighting. At what point has Rey ever demonstrated that she has any personality traits like that? This is going to lead into another question. But sure. like, when has Rey ever been like, I'm about the animals, I'm about peace and balance, I'm going to heal this animal because it's the right thing to do? And then the second thing is like, how, like, that's a hell of a way, like, she just does it, and it's a thing we've never seen anyone do, and it's a thing that could have been useful for her in other situations that she didn't use.
That's what I was going to say. Not only useful for her, but for Obi-Wan, Anakin, Yoda, Mace Windu.
Maybe they just didn't know about it. I don't know.
Like, it's very bad. The prequels are about the Jedi at the top of their game.
Anakin's height.
Afraid of Padme dying at birth. And it's like, oh, wait, Force heal is a thing? This whole you can bring someone back from the dead with the
whole
Force?
Point of the prequels was that Sidious, not the point of the prequels, but like in Sith. Like, Palpatine tells him, like, he has the power to control life, and that's what makes
exactly.
him turn evil.
Exactly. It's a Sith power.
Yeah.
It's
necromancy!
It's the last movie of the 9-movie series, just yada yadas, just like, oh, by the way, you can bring people back from the dead. You can undo everything with the touch of your hand. So, you know, I mean, yeah, it drains their life, I guess. But injuries, yeah. Luke's hand, like all of the things, all of the times that someone's been stabbed or is bleeding out or have any sort of problem.
Or is turned to the dark side and becomes the most devastating figure in history because he's worried about his wife dying in childbirth.
In this one, a novice Jedi is just like, oh, yeah, Force heal. That's a thing we have always had. That's just a thing. That's a Force heal. You guys know the Force heal, right? Everybody knows Force heal.
The fucking dyad. Oh, we're a dyad. And then Palpatine's like, oh, you're a dyad. I can train your life force to bring me back to life even harder.
Oh.
They introduced the fact that... Rey is Palpatine's granddaughter.
We haven't even talked about that.
That's some fucking bonkers shit because it doesn't even deserve to be addressed. So like apparently because she's born from Palpatine and Kylo Ren's born from Skywalker line, like their forces combined create a dyad, which is apparently a thing of Jedi legend. Of like Force
that
legend.
That we've never heard about.
And Palpatine has been spinning the wheels behind the scene to get Rey and Kylo Ren to turn evil, but I guess primarily Rey, and he didn't know that. Like, they show up together to fight him. He's like, oh, you're a dyad. Well, I can drain your life force and then be the emperor myself and be even better. It's like, how the fuck did he not know any of that when he was making this plan to put either one of them in his big chair? Like,
he has a very elaborate plan. It's like the prequels where Palpatine has this ridiculously elaborate plan, apparently, this whole time,
MO.
I've made clones and had them. Yeah, I guess. It's just like, what the fuck?
The fuck are you talking about, you California raisin-looking bastard?
Because Palpatine tells Rey, like, if you kill me, I want you to kill me, and then I'll go inside of you. And then she's like, I won't. And then she does.
Well.
And is that the dyad why it doesn't work? Because I was like, when she killed him, I was like, oh, is now Palpatine now going to possess her?
No.
Is it because of the Jedi voices?
No, it's because of the way the Force works. Like, if she had killed him then, when he was egging her on to kill him because of revenge out of killing her parents, or then the second part, it was like, your friends will die. Oh, and the only, okay. It's if she had killed
out
him
of hate.
Out of anger or fear.
That's dumb.
Well, it's established in Star Wars. It's dumb,
that's,
but it's no, Star
no, no,
Wars
yeah,
dumb.
No, that's fine. It's still
but
dumb.
She kills him defending herself.
Yep.
Like he ends up fucking melting his own ass with his force lightning.
Right.
And then his big chair explodes. Dude, yep. It was all about your big chair, and now they blew it up. Oh shit, this fucking movie.
God, I have so many things to talk about.
I know.
While we're at this scene, I'll talk about, because there's also the fact that fucking this whole movie was supposed to be about Rey kind of, you know, being the hero. She's saved by Kylo at the end. Mm-hmm. He swoops in and saves her, and then she kisses him. What the fuck was that?
Yeah.
The theater I was in, like, mumbled. I was in an almost completely silent theater. For when the credits ran, everybody just got up and left quietly.
Yeah.
There
was
but
a couple. There were a couple like scattered claps at certain moments, but they were very hesitant, right. Uncertain claps, and they went away very quickly.
Yes. But that was an unearned kiss. They gave them like sort of a romance, but in the previous, but it was just like Kylo Ren being creepily into her.
Right. It was.
And
it
he's a monster.
Yeah, he's an objectively bad dude, and like.
And, oh, he gets, my God.
His turn from the dark side back to the light side happens because Leia uses the last of her life energy to just go inside his head and say, Ben. And then he stops. He's about to kill Rey. And then she stabs him and then heals him. And then she says, right. And I actually, this is one of the scenes I actually liked because it was an emotional scene that they actually let breathe.
Yeah.
She stabs him and he's dying. And then she uses her force healing to heal him. And she says, because he kept saying, I offered you my hand once and you didn't take it. I'm going to offer you it again and you will. And I could sense that you wanted to take it that first time. So she heals him. And then she says, I did want to take your hand, but I wanted to take Ben's hand. And then she leaves him. And they let that moment, like the last third of the film, they actually let these emotional scenes breathe.
Yeah, for sure.
Because it was like, that's the point he wanted to get to. So he had to put all this other bullshit in at like 100 miles an hour. It's a lot like Revenge of the Sith in that way. It really is. It's like he's cramming in so much information in the first two thirds just to get to that ending that everybody knows is coming.
Yeah. The turn, Kylo's turn comes from that plus
seeing
Han
Harrison
Solo.
Ford.
Who's not a Force ghost because he's not a Jedi, which leads me to ask, what is he? He says he calls him like a memory.
He's a memory, yeah.
Okay. That's not a memory.
No, like, it's gibberish. Like, you could make the... like.
I know,
always...
I feel like I'm splitting hairs a little with this.
A little
I'm
bit,
nitpicking,
yeah.
But at this point in the movie, I was just like, okay, I guess Harrison Ford will... just walk into the scene and just start talking to him.
It's one of the best scenes in the movie.
It is. I mean,
it's very emotional.
Yeah.
And it's the one callback I liked.
Yeah. I would say if I could compliment this movie, I would say I liked all the performances.
Oh yeah, for sure.
It didn't matter because the script was gibberish.
It was garbage. Yeah. But yeah, like Kylo's turn back into Ben, like it was like, really, that's what did it. Like after every appeal that everyone made to him, this is the thing that does
That's what did it. And then he flies to the Sheev planet. Mm-hmm. He runs inside, kills his own knights, so they didn't matter ever.
Powerful. He beats the fuck out of them.
Yep. And then
again, it's like you were saying earlier, he beats them when he gets his lightsaber.
Yeah. I in the theater, what happened was you're right. It's the lightsaber.
Dude can pull a spaceship out of the sky, but he can't kill these four guys.
Yeah. He needs a lightsaber. Then he runs in and like Sheev takes their powers, shoves them down a cliff.
Yeah.
And then Rey uses both lightsabers and dies after killing Sheev. And I just wanted to get to this point because this was my engagement with this movie. She died and Rey shows up and he's holding her. And
Ren,
I got up to...
Ben.
Oh, Ben, sorry. And I just got up to take a leak. I was like, I have to pee. He's going to revive her and then die. And
yep.
Like started to walk
that
out.
That is what happens.
Yeah. And as I was walking out, they kissed. And I was like, wow. And then I left and came back. I guess I missed the Ewok.
There are some Ewoks,
I don't give a shit.
Warwick Davis is in there.
Oh, cool.
When he dies, his body disappears. And then it cuts back to Leia's body underneath the sheet and her body disappears.
Okay. Yeah. It was just, I couldn't believe, the thing that shocked me was that kiss. I know it wasn't that, supposed to be completely romantic. It was just...
It wasn't romantic, really. It was more of, it was like she was overcome with, you brought me back to life and also you're back. Like I was able to save you, like I told.
Right. I just can't believe
like I told Han and Leia that I would try, and I was able to do it.
I just can't believe like Rey's basically become Sleeping Beauty.
Kind of. Like, yeah.
It's he has to go in there and save the day. It was.
She did kill the Emperor. yeah. She did kill the Emperor. And
no. She's no slouch.
No. Yeah.
It's not really about, I guess it's not really about the gender stuff. It's about the protagonist and them not quite knowing what to do with Kylo Ren. And they wanted to have him kind of Vader in turn, but it all felt very awkward.
And also because it had happened again, Ryan Johnson's need to subvert. It had happened in The Last Jedi.
Yeah.
They team up to slaughter the throne room, but then he subverts it by being like, no, he's not really turning to the good side. He just was sick of this asshole. So it's like we'd already seen it happen once, and then they immediately took it back. So it was just like it took a lot of the impact out of it.
Yeah.
Here's a question I have for this movie that extends to the entire trilogy. Describe Rey's character to me.
She's like a Luke. I don't know.
Describe Finn's character to me.
Well, here's the thing. They're not like the prequels where they aren't robotically saying lines.
Mm-hmm.
It's that their characters change. Their arcs don't, like Finn, for example.
They're inconsistent,
like,
is my point.
Yes. Finn is cowardly in it for himself at first.
Mm-hmm.
And then in this one, he's just full blown. Like, and I guess his turn happened in The Last Jedi.
A little bit. Yeah. A little bit.
Poe is a rebellious scoundrel sometimes.
Right. Like, well, he was like a dashing pilot in the first one. Then he became just a rage pit in the second one. And in this one, he's just kind of like, he's like a mix of both.
Yeah.
And then, Finn was a coward. And then in the second one, he kind of is a coward still. And then this one, he's just full on earnest and like. But I think the biggest problem is Rey. Because Rey doesn't really have a character trait. Like, it's not her fault. Like, it's not the actress's fault. Like, Daisy Ridley is great as a fucking badass Jedi. But, like...
Yeah. And scene to scene, I like.
Sure, but all they ever have her do is react to things with the maximum emotion. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And to the point where when she's like, I found out Palpatine killed he's my grandfather, he killed my parents, I'm going to go kill him. And then Finn says, Rey, that's not like you. I'm like, isn't it?
Yeah.
Is it not like her? Because I really couldn't tell you if it was or not.
Because there's never been a point where she's, it's not like her because they show her take mercy earlier because again, they have to put it all in this one film. Because they didn't bother to set anything up. Like the Force Lightning in this, mm-hmm. That would have been great if that happened in a previous film.
If it happened in the second one.
Yeah. Again, none of this, it's that. It's the idea that the idea that she was Sheev's granddaughter, I guarantee, was thought up only when they started making this movie.
Oh, yeah. I'm sure she was supposed to be a Skywalker initially.
Yeah. And so it's shit like that, where it's like, oh, they're making up as they go along. So the characters are inconsistent because they're whatever they need to be in each film.
Correct. Yeah. And that was my ultimate point, was that there's no, like, and I guess Luke kind of had that problem too a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, we should note the original Star Wars were also kind of made up as they went along.
Well, at least the second and third one they knew were going to happen.
Yeah, but they you're right. It's no excuse for these to not know, because they know they're going to make three. But like
go ahead.
I was just going to say they were lucky that it worked out in the originals.
Right, and then the Jedi is like, another Death Star. Really? They've been building second one this whole time? Are you kidding me?
Right. There's problems, but
at the very least, like, Empire ends with Han Solo frozen in carbonite, and Jedi begins with them going to Jabba's palace to get Han Solo back. So at least it connected. You know?
Right. That would have been done in this one, is it wouldn't have ended that way, and the opening crawl would have been like, Han Solo has been frozen in carbonite. You know, like they would have.
I mean, at least
that's what would have happened if they had been making it this way,
like, right? And
I couldn't believe. I thought Sheev coming back, because I knew that was in the trailer. Mm-hmm. I thought that was going to be like a reveal at the end. Opening crawl. Like, anyway, remember, it's the equivalent of being like, Darth Vader is back. It's the same thing.
It's the same thing.
The iconic character. That, like, the iconic villain from the original. Oh, yeah, he's back. Anyway, here he is.
Anyway, here we go. At the very least, like, Luke had an identifiable want. You know, like, he was like, I want to get away and join the rebellion.
Wanted to do that in the first one.
Okay. That's fair.
Yeah, and she wanted to know who her parents were, and that's her whole thing, is where do I come from? Mm-hmm. So you could argue the arc is she wants to know where she comes from. It's almost like her arc is meta, where she's like, I know I'm the hero of this story.
But why?
And what's my mysterious past?
Yeah.
And then the dark moment is Kylo Ren being like, nah, they were nobodies. And then J.J. Abrams walks in and like, well, when he said they were nobodies, he meant, sure, they were nobodies, but their parents, that was Sheev. He meant that the whole time.
Yeah, he meant they were Sheev's
kids. Fucking Christ. And so you could argue her arc is then realizing her heritage is the Palpatine, which I don't know if you know this, is the exact same thing that happens to Luke. So
that's true. Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
so it's just that again.
One last point.
People groaned when they said you're a Palpatine in this.
Yeah,
because it's the exact same fucking thing.
Are you kidding me? But it is the exact same fucking thing.
Yeah.
One last point I want to make to further illustrate the fact that, like, they never bothered to really make Rey a character, is that there's a through line in this movie that there's a spy inside the First Order that's helping the Resistance, and it's ultimately revealed to be General Hux, Donald Gleason, who's been like the commander of the First Order for the couple of movies.
was unearned as well.
Well, when they revealed that it was Hux, I was like, oh yeah, that makes sense, because we saw that he's all about order, and he's all about order and maintaining order in the galaxy and this ordered government. And then Kylo Ren murders the leader and takes control and fucking goes apeshit and loses his mind.
You're right. That is actually, yeah.
He had more of an he made a character choice that made sense, that I was able to anticipate and justify as soon as I heard it. Which is so bizarre. Like, I never had that with Rey. Like, I was like, I don't know if this is how she, like, when Finn was like, this isn't you, I'm like, I don't know if it is or not.
Right.
Like, I can't really tell what she would, like, the only thing I know is that she reacts to everything as strongly as possible.
Right.
It's, man.
I mean, there's not much for any of them. I don't know.
There isn't much for any
they
of them,
the
that's
thing
true.
Where, like,
but it's like, man.
Finn,
make your main character a character. Anyway.
Like, I spent all of every one of these movies, like, Finn, who are you going to fuck? Because you seem to want to fuck everybody. I can't tell. You seem to have romantic, like, they keep giving him, like, sort of romantic moments. And it was like, I don't know. I can't tell. I can't tell if there's even supposed to be a romance in this. Like, maybe there's not.
Didn't
but
seem
they
like
set,
it.
They set it up in The Force Awakens. Like, he's clearly into Rey.
Yes.
Like, they have him say, you had a boyfriend, a cute boyfriend. Like, stuff like that. And it's like, oh, okay, I see where this is going. And then that doesn't really... And then he's like, I want to tell you something. And I was like, oh, I guess he's into her. That's a really sweaty way of doing it. And then that's apparently not it. And it's like...
Right, and then
the characters
introduce...
never really go anywhere, you know?
they don't.
They
really
don't. Nothing.
Don't.
And
what
then
the
Poe
is
like, this is my smuggler ex. I was like, really? This
really,
late
man?
In the game, you're giving him a romantic... And then they just sort of like do a funny little exchange. And then Lando talking to that girl, like, hey, what's your deal? And I was like, what is this?
Oh, I think that was more of, let's go on adventures. Like, she's okay. Like, I don't know where I come from. He's like, well, let's find out the answer
let's
to that
find
question.
Out. Yeah, but it was just like, there was, at the end when all the characters were celebrating, I think two of the characters kissed, two of them hugged, and I'm like, who are they? Why are they, like, it was that, where it was like, there's all these, like...
Oh, the character, by the way, like, the characters that kiss, like, people made it, there was like, oh, this Star Wars movie is the first, like, they tried to make a deal out of it because it's two women. They were like, oh, it's the first Star Wars movie to include a same-sex kiss. I'm like, yeah, by two random characters in the background for half a second.
Say,
like, why are you slapping yourselves on the back for that?
I was going to say, that's cool and all, but they clearly were like, they spent time on that shot. And so I got confused because I was like, oh, who are they? Are they characters? Did I miss these characters?
One of them is a lady that you've seen in a few scenes, but I don't think she ever gets a name.
It reminded me. Yeah, that reminds me of how Avengers was like first gay character. And it was like, yeah, it was a guy with one line in one scene. You
got
to do better than that.
It's the same shit. Yeah, it's like they're doing bare minimum, like the bare minimum. And being like, Sue, what a great job we did. It's like, all right, man, like, you need to do more than that.
you filmed one shot.
Yeah, a single shot of two characters we don't even know who they are.
This couldn't be avoided, but while we're talking about just the Rebel group, which we never really got time with them. Like you said, Rose didn't do anything. They did what they did to Jar Jar Binks in the second one, where they were like, nah, Rose, you're sidelined.
She was a massive character in The Last Jedi.
Yep. They just didn't use her.
Benched her.
Leia. Carrie Fisher has passed.
Yeah.
And it was before they shot any of this movie.
Yep.
It felt very obvious.
Oh, it was very Paul Walker in Fast and the Furious. Where they had to really sweatily write her line, write around the lines that they had of her, and then when she goes off to like die, like Maz Kantana has to explain to us what her motivations are and what she's doing.
It felt like it was like Job in Arrested Development with the "My name is Judge," like making a whole bit around
Judge,
it.
My name.
Where it felt like they would say conversational stuff with her. They'd cut to her and she'd say a slightly out of context statement, and then they'd like talk around it.
Right.
And it was oof.
It's the South Park episode, The Return of Chef.
Yes. Yes, exactly. And, you know, there's nothing they can do about that. It was just, it was very...
Right. They handled it as best they could, you know?
Yeah.
Because it would have been weird if she wasn't in it at all.
Yeah, exactly.
And it would have sucked if they had been like, Leia died off screen in between the last two movies. So I don't know. I don't know how you handle that.
Yeah. Final question for me on my side.
Yes.
Final note, I mean. What was that hobbit doing in the background?
Excuse me?
The hobbit. What was that hobbit doing in the background?
What scene? I don't remember
I'll look up his name. The guy from the who's a hobbit.
Oh, Merry.
Yeah. What's Merry doing in this?
He's just in it. I can't remember if he was in the last one or not.
I watched the last one.
Dominic Monaghan.
I watched it fairly recently. I don't think he is. What is he doing? He's just in it. It reminded me of like what Forrest Gump, where they edit Tom Hanks into famous moments. Mm-hmm. Like there'd be these shots and he'd just be in the shot. And I'm like, does anybody notice that he's in this? Because he's like a famous guy.
Does anybody notice this very famous man?
Yeah, and it's like, I don't think he had many lines or a character name. Like, I don't think he's ever named.
No, I think it's an example of like JJ has people that he likes to work with. Like Kerry Russell is in it in a pretty small role. You never see her face.
Yeah, I mean, I feel
and then
like...
he was on Lost. So,
right, but I think he must have had cut scenes or something. Because he's an actor. He's in a Lord of the Rings.
Right. Like, he's a very recognizable actor. Yeah.
And it was just like, what are you doing back there, man? Did you wander onto the set and no one said anything? Like, it's so weird that he's just there.
It is very strange. Yeah.
And again, that Lando scene, that also felt like a cut scene where it's him talking to that lady. And I was like, why are these two characters talking? And then they never follow up. It's mm-hmm. just like, hey, how's it going? Let's go on adventures, like you
yeah,
said.
Yeah, it was very strange.
Oh, okay. Huh. This movie felt like a mess.
It is a mess.
Yeah.
It's a huge mess.
Oh, I mean, like, yeah, a production mess, but boy. Boy, Tom.
Yeah. Yep. It's like 5 credited writers. Good job.
This is, plot-wise, the MacGuffin stuff, like, this is... I think structurally, like writing, yeah, I think it's worse than the prequels.
It's
in
worse,
terms of...
I can't say it's worse than Phantom Menace because Phantom Menace never makes a case for its own existence.
Yes. I guess what I mean is like when you sit down and map out why anything happened.
Oh, yeah. Phantom Menace certainly made more sense than this. Yeah.
Yeah. That's what I mean is like the knife and the thing.
Fucking
and she,
knife.
Like, it's just like, what the fuck is happening? What is in any of this stuff? Who are these characters that we're just meeting? What are these sudden powers everybody has? Like, it's madness.
Just from the Palpatine aspect alone, like, I've been secretly alive this whole time pulling the strings and I've amassed a massive fleet called the Final Order, just been sitting here for decades waiting, like that.
Yep.
Just that alone is the most embarrassing thing you could do in a sequel like this.
This is mask off when it comes to the thing we've been talking about with J.J. Abrams. Because I think people fall for the mystery box easily. Because mm-hmm. it seems like it has a purpose.
It makes it seem deep and important.
Yes, and it seems like it's intelligent, like someone's has a plan. And this is mask off with J.J. Abrams, where it's like, until this moment, it would be like, oh, it's not his fault. Other people fucked it up. And it's like, no. He doesn't know where... He never knew where this was going.
No, and in fact, he had so no idea that he just reused everybody else's ideas from the original trilogy. Like, he had...
Right.
He never even had a theoretical answer to the questions he placed in the first movie.
Because when it came time for someone to be like, okay, now time to pay off all those things you set up, JJ, he fucked the dog. He completely... He whiffed it. It's a mess.
It really is. It really is.
It's baffling.
It was legitimately surprising how bad this movie was. Like, I expected to enjoy it on just like a pew pew laser swords level, but this movie is so frustratingly
bad. I did enjoy it
bad.
On a pew pew laser swords level. It just wasn't enough.
Because it got boring, like I mentioned earlier, every single scene, every single scene in the first 2/3 of the movie ends with, we got to get out of here. The First Order just showed up.
Yeah.
It's like, Jesus Christ, guys, have one idea.
And then
idea.
Also, where, what? All right, we got to get this knife. I don't even remember why they needed to get the knife, like how they figured that out. It was something on the planet with Leia. They were told, like, we have to go to this thing to get the knife.
It was in the books.
Right. So they mention a thing, and Leia's, oh, the planet Testicle.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they're like, there's the Sith planet Testicle. And or icicle. I don't know. It was one of those.
It was some jibba name. Yeah, it was probably testicle.
And Ray was like, I know that, and runs to the books, the only thing from the previous one, and is like, look, this is a testicle planet, and you have to get this knife on this other planet. And they go to that planet, and they fall in quicksand, getting chased. Lando randomly shows up. God, I just want to sum up the madness. So they get chased, fall in quicksand. That brings them exactly to the knife for some reason, even though that's nowhere near. They pick up the knife. And then they're like, it's Sith writing. And C-3PO is like, well, I could do that, but you have to do this thing to me that we've never established before. And so they're like, and then they're like, we can't do that like with the rebels. Nobody knows how to do that. And Poe's like, I know a woman on this random planet. And they go to that planet. And then they meet a little goblin and the woman. Mm-hmm. And then, yeah, Star Destroyer and...
Star Destroyer shows up. They run to another place.
And the knife tells them to go to the other place. And they go to the other
Endor.
Place.
Yeah.
Which tells them to go to another place. And I blow up a planet.
And then Rey leaves without them. And so Poe and Finn and everybody else are stuck. Like, we don't know how to get to the Sith planet.
Right, but then Rey just says, like, by the way, here's why I am and how to get there.
Well, she flies there in her X-Wing, but wait.
She flies to Luke's planet first.
Yeah, and gets Luke's X-Wing. There's a cone-faced robot that gets thrown in there. This is the last thing I want to bring up because we've got to wrap this up.
Oh, right. I forgot about the fucking
robot. Do you remember? Yeah, because like she goes to get the codex and it gets destroyed.
Right. Oh, right. They get on a ship. They just happen to find the fucking ship that her parents were... taken away on.
Yeah, and they've been flying that, and there's a little cone robot in there. And then after they go through all this trouble to get the knife to the Death Star, to get the other codex that Kylo Ren then destroys, the cone head robot just tells them after all this, oh yeah, I know how to get there.
Yep.
Go and they're like, oh, fuck yourself, movie.
Oh, wonderful. That ship, by the way, because Snoke had the parents kidnapped, right? And they show that, or the Emperor. The Emperor
Palpatine,
stabbed the parents, Palpatine. Mm-hmm. In his Emperor lair.
Mm-hmm.
So that means whoever kidnapped the parents stopped at that planet to do the knife stuff and then took another ship, a different ship, to Palpatine, to Sheev?
I don't know.
So he could stab the parents?
No. The
Why
the
is
Jedi
that ship there?
The Jedi Hunter guy stabs the...
Oh, okay. So he stabbed them on that planet.
Yeah, he was looking for the other codex for some reason, even though he was apparently already working for... I don't care. I'm done talking about this movie.
This is awful.
I'm done talking about this. It is gibberish.
Okay. Let's be done.
Let's be done.
Guys, I don't think you should see this movie.
I mean, you're going to see it. It's Star Wars.
They need to be
prepared
stop.
That it's going to be thunderously disappointing and bad.
This is... Of all the problems, the J.J. Abrams stuff, the new Star Wars, the no planning, this is rock bottom for me. And, like, they need to look at this movie and say, we need to do something. Maybe not make a Star Wars. Like, maybe we shouldn't make a Star Wars for, I don't know, a decade or two until someone has a good idea. And then we'll make one. Like, let's be done. With Star Wars,
I would settle for any idea at this point.
I'm like, you don't get it anymore. Like, yeah. You know, it's like you messed it up. You clearly, you started from the idea of we want to make more Star Wars, but you didn't earn. It's Jurassic Park. It's you stood on the shoulders of giants. It's that. It's like you don't. You didn't. Yeah.
Yeah, I
get to think if you should. I'm done with this. I'm done with this shit. I don't think anybody needs to see another Star Wars in theaters for a while.
Sure.
Yeah.
Ah,
this was bad.
Well, that's a sod, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah.
That's
guys,
a sod.
Thank you so much for listening. I hope you had a great holiday. I think this is coming because, you know, last week we had to get Cats Out.
Mm-hmm.
So
we had to.
I think we're going to put this out early for our patrons, though.
Indeed.
And so if you, I don't know, feel like you should have been a patron you know, when we put this out early, you should check out our Patreon page at patreon.com/gamefullyunemployed. We have exclusive podcasts there, like Tom and Jeff Watch Batman and Fox Mulder is a Maniac.
Mm.
We have a bunch of cool tiers. We watch movies every Friday with our patrons. We have you can produce a Hypecast episode and get a shout out and some merch. A lot of stuff there. So check it out.
Yeah. We also have a store, tpublic.com/store/gamefullyunemployed, where you can get t-shirts, stickers, mugs, posters, whatever, anything you want. Anything you want. Ceremonial knives that have secret Death Star locations on them, whatever you want.
You can get a Sheev shirt, you guys.
You can get a Sheev shirt. That's true.
Sheev Palpatine, who definitely has ejaculated.
At least once, yeah.
At least once.
Just burst his cursed seed into a woman.
While going, now.
Unlimited power!